Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue in our short series of subjects, Missions of the Lord, as stated by Himself. And today we wish to consider the fact that He came to seek and to save that which was lost, stated by Himself in His own words in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. We'll read the verse. It's a wonderful, wonderful verse. For the Son of Man is come. He came on a mission. He came as directed by His Father, we read in 1 John 4 and 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, into the world, that we might live through Him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in His majesty, states the reasons why He came to this earth. And we're considering four of them with strong evangelical teachings and leanings and significance. And here He uses this supreme example of telling us in John 19 and 10, or rather Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man is come. He has come? Yes, He came. He was sent, and He came for the purpose to seek and save that which was lost. Oh, how wonderful. This verse is wonderful in another sense. It is composed of monosyllable words. All the words of Luke 19 and 10 are one-syllable words. You know, a thing doesn't have to be couched in polysyllable words or multiple-syllable words to be important. We don't have to use big words to express profound thought. And this is the most profound thought that I can think of in the Scriptures, expressed in the simplest fashion. God doesn't want anybody to miss this. And the Lord Jesus said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I think we will, as we did on our last broadcast, relate this text, this verse, to its context, and it will even increase and enhance the full and blessed meaning of it. We read in verse 1 of Luke chapter 19, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Jericho was the city of the curse. As I recall at the moment, at least, He only visited this city once. And Jericho was the city of the curse. When Jericho was destroyed, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and came across the Jordan River after their wilderness wanderings, they came across the Jordan River, and the first city west of the Jordan that they met was Jericho. It was a strongly fortified city, and I'm not going to tell you how they overcame it, but it was a wonderful victory, and the city was demolished. And after the city was demolished, Joshua tells them, he was the leader in that occasion, in chapter 6 and verse 26 of the book of Joshua, and Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son he shall set up the gates of it. Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city. And that happened in the reign of King Ahab. The city was built again, but it was under a curse. Now, you know the Lord Jesus Christ visited this world. He didn't spend long here. His public ministry lasted for 3.5 years. But He came to a scene that was cursed by sin. And He came and He visited us in this world down here. Thank God for that 3.5 year visit. And thank God for all the Scriptures that tell us of what was accomplished. Let's go on. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Let me ask you a question. If the Lord Jesus Christ associated only with people of perfect character in this world, he would have never come. He came into a world of sinners, and he said, here, this man is a sinner, as if we're not. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, after they got to his house, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is the son of Abraham. And then no profound words so simply expressed, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now here we have Zacchaeus. He was a little man, and he'd heard of the fame of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must see Jesus. And he ran before. He was a small man, small of stature, but he laid aside his pride and climbed up into a tree. You know, either very tall people or very short people sometimes are conscious of the height or the lack of height that they have. And it's something that they don't like particularly. If you want to keep good public relations, don't ask a very tall man, how is the weather up there? And certainly don't ask a very short man, how is the weather down there? But on this occasion, this little rich publican, despised of the Jews, he was a tax gatherer, this little publican laid aside his pride and he ran before and he climbed up in a tree just like a little boy. He must see this famous person, Jesus. He'd heard so much about him, this wonderful person that raised the dead and healed the sick and released demon-possessed people from their demons and all his power. And the crowds followed him every place. And he must see this man. And he laid aside every caution, every iota of pride in his being, and he climbed up in a tree, right by the pathway, right by the roadway, where the Lord was to pass. And then we read, of course, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And Zacchaeus, I think, almost fell out of the tree. How did he know who he was? Listen, this is God, the omniscient God, manifest in human flesh. Make haste and come down, for I must abide at thy house. Was that good manners? It is for God. It is for God. I must abide at thy house. And when they got home, Zacchaeus had a little speech made up. We read there, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. That's being pretty generous, isn't it? He was rich. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That's why the publicans were hated. They were the tax gatherers. And according to John the Baptist in Luke's Gospel chapter 3, in this Gospel of Luke chapter 3, they would tell the people, the taxes are so much, but they'd tell them more than they really were, and they'd pocket the difference. They were hated. But he says, and I'm not going to reproach his sincerity, he says, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man falsely, by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. He wanted to be made out as a righteous man before this wonderful person, Jesus Christ. But you know, the Lord said something to him that I'm sure when he reflected upon it had a great weight. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, in the person of the Savior himself. Christ was the Savior. Salvation is connected with a person. It isn't how much money we give. It isn't how many good works that we do. It isn't how earnest we are and how unselfish we are in our service for others. We are not saved by our works. Salvation is a person. Many religious people in the world today, and I say this with sorrow, and I know it to be true because I was the very same person myself. I was very religious before God saved me. And I had to find out that religion, according to the Epistle of James, religion is something that we do. Salvation is something that God has done. The work that saves is done. And God tells us that. And believe me, this man was just an example. He just typifies everybody. He starts talking about his good works. And the Lord has to set it aside. This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. This day salvation has come to this house in the person of Christ. It isn't works. It's the Savior that saves us. If we could be saved by our works, then why did Christ die on the cross? It was because we couldn't save ourselves. Now, good works have a place in our lives after we're saved, but not to be saved. They show by their good, we witness by our good works before others that we belong to Christ. But it's because we are saved, not to be saved. We're not saved by what we have done. I had to learn that hard lesson, and it was very difficult for me to learn. But I learned it. Thank God that salvation is in the person of Christ. And then that marvelous statement, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He only came to save lost people. Paul could say in the first chapter of 1 Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that is a good place to come, to realize that we're lost. And thank God. I heard of a case once where a man said, oh, I'm lost. And his family rejoiced, and they said, now you can be saved. He realized that he was lost. We need to realize it. Listen again, please. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Our Father, today we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that some will heed this invitation today and accept the Lord. Salvation is in the person of Christ. Accept his person and the fact that he died for them. In Christ's name, amen.